1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Once you've found that in your Bibles, if you'll go ahead and stand with me. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. We'll read verses 12 through 20. I'll go ahead and read the even verses, and then if you'll join with me on the odd verses. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, starting there at verse number 12, down through verse 20. And it says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Let's bow our heads. Close our eyes. Heavenly Father, thank you again for meeting with us. And Lord, we ask that you please be a part of the service. Bless preacher as he's preaching. Fill him with power. Give him the words to say. Lord, I pray that you please be with the special music. Prepare our hearts through that. And then I pray that we'd all listen to what preacher has for us tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Singing. All right, I want to draw your attention tonight to this whole passage, okay? It's all good. It's in the Word of God, so it's all part good, all good. I'm going to speak tonight on a sin from which to run. If I had to pick a verse to use as the foundation for the title, it would be in verse 18, where there's a two-word sentence, flee fornication. You see that? That's a sin from which to run. Flee fornication. Heavenly Father, thank you for amazing grace. And what it washes us from. And what it cleanses us from. And I pray, Lord, what it keeps us from. And so I pray tonight that you'll use the preaching of your word. Please speak to hearts. I pray for your spirit's fullness, control, complete guidance through the message, and that the power of God will be evident in our midst so that we can all hear what we need to hear tonight. And thank you for the privilege to be in church on this warm summer evening. Thank you for the faithfulness of these great people throughout these weeks, Lord, just service after service. I love them. Thank you for them. I want to be what I need to be and what they would need me to be tonight. So bless me and help me, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the wonders of our Bible is its relevance to the very hour in which we are living. Even though it has been forever settled in heaven, and even though many of its words have been inscribed in stone or written on parchment for over 3,000 years, its truths, its principles are as proper and as right and as pertinent and as relevant for this hour as they were when they were originally given. It's a wonderful book, all right? And the same will be true tomorrow and next week and next month and next year and until time ends and beyond that, because the Word of God abideth forever. Now, because of that, we can reach back to experiences that people went through, in some cases almost 2,000 years ago, and learn from them lessons that can be applied today. And such is the case with the passage that we read a moment ago in 1 Corinthians number 6. The Christians in Corinth were exposed to a society that was immersed in illicit sexual behavior. Immersed in it. I hesitate using the word baptized. I hate to use the word, a scriptural holy word like baptism in association with immorality. But they were immersed in immoral behavior. Illicit sexual behavior. I could take the time, and I have in other messages, previous messages that I have preached, to describe in detail the climate that existed in Corinth when it came to illicit sexual behavior. I'm talking about from the temples where they practiced, in some cases, a prostitution to the tune of 1,000 prostitutes per temple. It's filthy. It was vile. It was horrible. I won't do that tonight. I'll just say it was terrible. Now, the secular society in Corinth was overcome by these sins. And there are multiple sins that fall under the heading of illicit sexual sin. If you go back up to chapter 6 to verse number 9, look at it with me. Keep your Bible open. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. And here's a long list of sins, vile sins. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, four of those sins are sexual in nature. Fornicators, adulterers, effeminate, and abusers of themselves with mankind. You name it, when it comes to sexual sin, and it was thriving in the city of Corinth. Thriving, unfortunately. Okay. Now, also unfortunately, the church in Corinth, I'm talking about the saved of their society. Okay, and I doubt that there were very many true churches in Corinth in this day and age, other than the one true church that was full of saved and born again baptized believers, because other churches didn't even come into existence till later on in time. All right? So there's probably only one church in Corinth. Maybe there was a couple of this nature. But the saved of that society, the church, had also been poisoned and polluted by illicit sexual behavior, and that's sad. Now, understandably then, Paul, under the leadership of the Holy Ghost, gives attention to this kind of behavior as it relates to the church. Okay? But, understand this, these words are more than just historical in nature. These words are preserved for today. And they are as relevant for Faith Baptist Church in Bourbonnais, Illinois in 2012 as they were for Corinth, Achaia in 59 A.D. What happened 1,953 years ago is applicable for us tonight. The lessons that it teaches. Now we, the secular society in America, I mean, it's almost a parallel. We are immersed in illicit sexual behavior. I hate to use the word baptized because it's a good biblical word, a good biblical ordinance. Honestly, folks, we're baptized in it in America. We're plunged in it. We're overwhelmed with illicit sexual behavior. And it's not just the physical behavior that goes along with the immorality. It's the verbal innuendo and the connotation. Illicit sexual behavior is woven into the very fabric of our society. You cannot watch an advertisement for toothpaste or for any other common household item without some kind of illicit sexual behavior being promoted. To deny that, you'd be a liar. As was the case in 59 A.D., so it is in 2012 A.D. The church has been polluted, poisoned, and pounded by the temptation of illicit sexual behavior. Yes. Yes. And our church is not exempt. About anywhere you go to a Baptist church of this belief and practice, they're not exempt either. It's ridiculous. It's wrong, and it's sad. Sad. By the way, it's not going away. It's not going away. It's not going to lessen in its influence. It's not going to get better. I preached a message out of Revelation chapter 9 some, I don't know how long ago it was now, called Sure Signs of Satanic Sway. Talking about the tribulation period and the influence of the devils that will permeate society during the tribulation period. It's unbelievable. And God will send judgment after judgment after judgment after a judgment on mankind. But the influence of devils is so strong, even with the judgment of God falling all around them every day, the Bible says that men will not repent. Of these four sins, murder, sorcery, which is drug use, fornication, and thefts. So even in the tribulation period, with the judgment of God falling all around them, they will continue in illicit sexual behavior. Immorality. Unbelievable. It's not going to go away. It's only going to get worse the further we go in this thing. So, what should we say to this sad and sick and severe and sordid and sinful situation? I'll tell you what I think tonight. I think we need to hear the voice of God in this matter. And that simply says, flee fornication. Flee fornication. Run from it. There are not many sins, friend, that we are told to run from. We have a lot of commands in this Bible compelling us to stand up to temptation and fight the good fight of faith and stand up to sin and fight it off. But when it comes to this sin, we are told to run, flee, get out of town, scat, skidoodle, get, go, whatever it is. Flee fornication. Look, for it is clear from Scripture that people have struggled with this sin since the beginning of time. And it's also clear from this Scripture that God is displeased by man's indulgence in this sin. He said, flee fornication. Flee illicit sexual behavior. Every child of God should have this mindset. Every child of God should fear this sin. Every child of God should make it a commitment. I don't care what age you are. Or how long you've been married. But especially in the youth, where the hormones are raging between age 18 and 28. You need to make a commitment. If you haven't already, or remake it again, to flee fornication. Run from it. Get out of Dodge. That's what we need to hear tonight. Flee fornication. I have five things I want to say about this thing tonight, the sin. Number one, we need to understand the capability. Understand the capability. Christians were falling to these type sins in 59 A.D. and Christians are falling to these sins in 2012 A.D. And Christians have fallen to these sins in between 59 and 2012 A.D. And Christians will continue to fall until Jesus comes. And I'm not making an excuse. I'm just telling you that when you begin to think you are above this sin, when you begin to think you are beyond this sin, friend, you are in dangerous territory. Dangerous territory. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul writes about several sins that the children of Israel committed. And he tells the church at Corinth, don't do the same. And one of the sins listed in that list is the sin of fornication. And by the way, he says, because they committed fornication, I think it was 23,000 people died because of the fornication with the children of Moab. 23,000 people died. And he said, church at Corinth, don't make that same mistake. And then, after that list is listed, Paul said this, or the Holy Ghost said this, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Understand the capability tonight, friend. Every red-blooded one of us is capable of giving in to some kind of sexual sin. Every one of us. And I know there's a difference between fornication and adultery, technically speaking, but I'm just listing, I'm putting all the sexual sins, whatever falls under the sin of sexual, under the heading of sexual sin, that's what I'm talking about tonight. The temptation comes to the young and to the old. The temptation comes to male and female. The appetite that God created us with in this matter is a very strong appetite. I want you to look at verse number 13. Look at what it says in verse 13. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. The body has an appetite. And the body has many appetites. Hunger is one. And physical intimacy is another one. And those are holy and good and perfectly right appetites in their place. But just because you've got the appetite, your body is not supposed to be overcome by the appetite. You can't say, I point a finger in God's face and say, well, that's the way you made me. You made me with this appetite. You created my body with this desire. And so what do you expect me to do? I tell you what God expects you to do. He expects you to wait and keep it in this proper place. That's what God expects. It's exactly what He expects. The body is not for fornication. You're not supposed to give your body over to the fulfillment of the desire for physical intimacy just because you've got it. The body is for the Lord. You know, I don't know all the reasons why God did what He did. Maybe it was for the purpose of replenishing the earth. And God created this strong appetite. And I'm not going to try to go into all the reasons to think about it or speculate on it tonight. The sin nature that you and I possess is very real. And if we're not careful, it will run away with normal, natural, God-created appetites that He gave us for holy purposes. And that's what He's saying here. Your body is not for the purpose of letting it run, the sin nature run away with these appetites and indulge itself just because you feel like it. That's what He's saying. And friend, I'm simply telling us tonight that we need to understand the capability of this thing. Understand it. We are capable of losing the parameters and losing the restriction if we're not careful. Parents, you've got to understand that about your child. I don't care how good they are. They got something natural. Created by God in them that makes them susceptible to what I'm talking about tonight. And you can't just take a laissez-faire passive attitude toward this thing just because you've got a teenager who from the time that they were six hasn't caused you a problem. Things start to wake up in the body of a 16-year-old that don't wake up at age six. Parents, we've got to put our heads on. Our thinking caps. We are responsible for this thing. I'm telling you, responsible for it. And I want to tell you, we've got to understand the capabilities. Sometimes we sit across the table and we look across at our little bitty kids and we put a halo on their heads that has no business being there. Y'all understand that tonight? I'll promise you that's the truth. Understand the capability. The capability. I am capable. As good a man as these men are, they are capable. As good a man as all you men are sitting across this room tonight, you are capable. And I'll promise you something, friend. Every boy between the age of 15 and 25 is capable as well. And so are the girls. Understand the capability. Number two, understand the availability. Illicit sexual behavior and the promotion of it is readily available. That's because our society is immersed in it. Especially now through the use of the social media. The abuse of this bodily appetite is encouraged to the naive and to the knowing. And immoral sexual behavior is available everywhere, especially through the social media. I'm talking about the old mediums of TV and music. Now you let your music slide, and I'm going to promise you something. You let your music slide in your home with your children, and the morals are going to slide with it. Every time. Every time. I don't think there has ever been a time in 22 years here and 10 years out there sitting across the table from a rebellious or in trouble teenager or college student who wasn't in some way, if the problem wasn't rock music and the world's music was connected to it in some way. And I'm going to go ahead and say this because I just feel like it tonight. I'm a little bit surprised by the liberty some Christians take with their cell phone ringtones. I'm sorry, but I got saved out of the Beatles. I'm weary of being in Christian circles and hearing the music. And Brother Tom's guilty. He's leaving. He's mad, see? He goes back to the Bee Gees and the... I'm weary. I'm weary of people. Elvis was a whoremonger and a drunk and a drug abuser. You can't find anything better for your cell phone ringtone than some rock music that we got saved out of? It's pathetic. Not today, though. We just laugh at it. Hee-hee-ha-ha. And I'm going to be real transparent with you. I was tempted. Oh, I was tempted. I thought, you know, I would think I would lie. I'm not going to confess what song it was, but I was tempted. Yeah. Man. You know what I thought? I would like to be in a staff meeting with four or five good guys trying to plan things for the church, and my cell phone goes off with some ringtone of some rock song. That's all right. Doesn't matter. I'm free as a bird up here tonight. Amen. Free as a bird. I'm telling you, brother, rock music and the world's music has always been associated and interwoven with this kind of behavior. So has the television. Unguarded television. But you know what, folks? The devil has thrown us a curveball because the music can be taken care of and the TV can be taken care of, but through the medium of the new social networks. Don't you think for one second that this church has not been affected, does not have somebody who has been affected. I'm talking about teenager by texting. And I won't even use the word that's used. I'm talking about pictures. I'm talking about filth. Trash, junk, sorry, sordid wickedness. And you're going to keep giving your 14-year-old and your 16-year-old a cell phone? I'll tell you, friend, we're nuts. Don't you think for one second that this church hasn't been affected by Facebook? And I tell you, I dread the day of getting a phone call when some naive, unsuspecting boy or girl has been abducted by some connection they've made on Facebook. Now, I know a lot of you people use it. I understand that. I got people every time I mention it, sir, don't you know there's a lot of people that use it? I understand why people use it. I don't care. And if you're using it for good and holy purposes, God bless you. I'm going to tell you something, friend. A lot of people don't. And the availability of sexual misbehavior and illicit sexual material is unbelievable through the medium of the social networks that are in existence today. The availability for the fulfillment of this kind of... Look, you know one reason why we have to fight being overweight? Because food is available everywhere. You can't go anywhere, buy anything without something being for sale. Potato chips, candy bars, doesn't matter. Sports stores, retail store, anything. And it wasn't that way when I was a kid. When I was a kid, if you wanted to buy candy, you had to go to the 5 and 10 cent store. I remember when Slurpees came out. The 7-Eleven. Oh, man. Now you stop for a tank of gas, and there's all kind of food, anything you want. You can eat a buffet meal at Shell. And you know the temptation to go in and pay for the gas and pick up a bag of chips. Come on. I will tell you what. We're there. When it comes to the availability of sexual misbehavior. You might meet him at Starbucks. Yeah? You might meet him at Book Joint over here. What? Baker Taylor. No, that's not the Barnes & Noble. You might meet him at Barnes & Noble. Oh, yeah, just a little glance across the book, and a little casual conversation. Next thing you know. Yeah? Hello, are you listening tonight? I'm not just blowing hot air tonight. I'm talking about reality. I'm talking about stuff that you folks don't have to sit and listen to. It's unbelievable. I'm talking about understand the availability. Every parent in this church should be so aware that we are rearing children in a culture that is inundated with sexual misbehavior. It is an idol. And we got to realize that. We got to be careful that we keep our kids from it and do everything in our power to keep them sheltered and protected. And young people, if you've got a dad and a mom who have enough courage to keep you protected from some of those things, and did you think, instead of fighting them, get on your knees and thank your God above you got a daddy who loves you. Thank Him that He loves you instead of fighting. Understand the capability. Number two, understand the availability. Number three, understand the culpability. That's a word you don't hear very often. Culpable. In other words, when you enter into fornication or any other kind of sexual sin, instead of fleeing it, you need to understand what you are in line of being blamed for. And I'm going to tell you what it is. In fact, I'm not going to say it. God says it right here. Look at verse 15. This is heavy stuff, boy. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Understand the culpability. Friend, those of us who are saved are joined to Christ in spirit. When we get saved, we are in effect married to Christ. And although that's why I talked this morning about the bride and the bridegroom. And when we say yes to Jesus, He proposes to us, would you be mine? Would you make me your Savior? And when we say yes, we are married to Jesus Christ. And although we are not joined bodily like husband and wife, we are joined spiritually to Christ. And the Bible plainly says that our bodies become members of Christ. That means our head, our eyes, our ears, our mouth, our arms, our legs, our hands, our feet belong to Christ. As real as a man and woman who are married are joined to each other, so we are joined to Christ. In committing fornication, a Christian, you want to know what you're culpable of? A Christian takes the members of Christ and joins them with the members of an harlot or a whoremonger. Now you and I need to ponder that for a second. When a Christian commits fornication, they drag the members that belong to Christ into a wicked and vile sin. I've preached on this enough. I should make this an annual event. Because it ought to scare us. The thought of taking that which is supposed to be holy, that which is joined to Christ in spirit, that which belongs to Him, and involving that which belongs to the sinless, spotless, pure, innocent, holy, blameless Christ, dragging it through the cesspool of immoral, illicit sexual behavior, that is awful. I said it is awful. I said it is awful. I don't care how romantic the experience. I don't care how fancy. I don't care how cloaked in love it was. By the way, don't take the beautiful word love and associate it and tag some sin with that. That's not love. That's lust, animal passion. I don't care how fancy it was. You are blamed for taking the members that belong to Christ and joining them to someone else in an illicit, immoral relationship. In fact, the Bible says that true love does not rejoice in such behavior. When you come away from that, you get on Facebook, you write how wonderful it was, you got problems, friend. Well, you get with your buddies and you talk about, man, I'm going to tell you, you're sick. Sick. True love doesn't rejoice in iniquity. 1 Corinthians 13, charity does not behave itself unseemly, rejoiceth not in iniquity. I'm going to tell you something. Talk about it all you want to your friends. Get on Facebook, text all over the world about it. Tell everybody you want to. And I'm going to tell you what you're guilty of. You are guilty of dragging that which belongs to Jesus Christ through a septic pit. Through a septic pit. The holy, pure, clean, spotless Christ through a septic pit. That's heavy, isn't it? It's supposed to be heavy. They had to have something to wake them up. They were immersed in a culture. It was illicit sexual behavior everywhere, poisoned and polluted and pounded on the church. And Paul wrote to them and said, come on! What in the world are you thinking? What are you doing? You're culpable. You're to blame for taking that which belongs to Christ and joining it to an harlot and a whoremonger. And by the way, friend, you say, well, this must have been the prostitutes and so forth at the temple. I'll tell you what it is. Anybody outside of a legally married situation qualifies as a harlot and a whoremonger. Scripturally, number four. Understand the destructibility. Understand the destructibility. Look at verse 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Well, Pastor, all sin is the same. That's a bunch of nonsense. Yes, when you talk about the sin nature, you wrap it all up, the sin nature, we're all guilty before God of the sin nature. We all have it. But if you think for 1 minute, friend, that there aren't some sins that are more severe in consequence than others, you haven't read your Bible. And this is one of the most severe. Fornication brings more destruction to your body, your soul, and your mind than any other sin. Lying and thieving and anger and pride and swearing, all of those are sins. But this sin does more in the way of destruction to the body than all of those. And by the way, other bodily appetites are the same thing. Drunkenness and gluttony. But I want you to understand tonight, friend, when you engage in fornication or illicit sexual behavior, you are sinning against your own body. You are destroying your body. You might as well take a lead pipe and beat yourself over the head. Pound on yourself, because that's in effect what you're doing to your body. And destruction in more ways than just physical. You know, I can't say again, I don't have the study to back up this or to make a significant statistic out of this, but I will tell you this much. Couples who engage in fornication prior to being lawfully married will have trouble in their marriage almost 100% of the time. Some measure. Some measure. You're sinning against your future. And this includes pornography, fellas. You let Hollywood and some filthy, perverted, vile guy who's picking your pocket money-wise paint some fairy tale, imaginative picture of the physical intimate relationship when your wife, who is innocent and pure, doesn't live up to it, you get tired of her. That's stupid. That is complete stupidity. Does this make sense to you all tonight? You know, if you've been here over these years, you probably haven't heard the word sexual out of my mouth more than 20 times. And that's on purpose. I got tired of going to church services where kids were learning more about street language from the pulpit than they were out in the street. I've done that on purpose, folks, but I had to throw caution to the wind tonight. Get right down where we live. I'm talking about the destructibility. Not to mention your reputation. You mess around, then you meet someone, innocent lady, innocent man, and their pastor calls me. And Brother Angel, what can you tell me about so-and-so? What do you want me to say, folks? Huh? You know, if it's your son or daughter guilty of fornication, you want me to take it easy. But if your son or daughter is looking at, is not guilty and the other person is, how dare you hide that from me? You know, sit in the seat sometimes back there. You listen tonight. Understand the destructibility. And then I will say this, number five. Understand the victory. Understand the capability, the availability, the culpability, the destructibility, and understand the victory. And you find that in verses 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Yeah, we've memorized it for years, and ye are not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God is in me. I belong to God. I am bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. I am to bring glory to the one who paid the ultimate price for me. I am to glorify Him in my body and in my spirit, which belong to Him. Victory is in belonging to God and realizing it. And that's exactly what Joseph did in chapter 39 when Potiphar's wife said, come on! He said, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? I'm His! I belong to Him! It's realizing it. My friend, do you know how few in the world today belong to God, and by His grace you do? How wonderful! And how dare we take that relationship and abuse it, and people run away with what I preached this morning. You know, well, God loves you in spite of everything. God loves you. I know that's true. You can't change the love of God. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you've got the mindset that because God loves you in spite of anything, you're going to run out and live this kind of lifestyle, I don't know if you're saved. Don't know if you're saved. Look at verse 11. It tells us that some of the people who were effeminate and fornicators and adulterers, it tells us that some of those people, oh, they got washed. They got sanctified. They got justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Oh, if a Christian falls to them this temptation, gets right and falls again, gets right and falls again, gets right and falls again, jumps in and out and in and out of illicit relationships, something is wrong! Because Paul said, there came a point in your time, in your life, when you got over it. You got washed, you got cleansed, you got sanctified. You got the victory over that kind of foolishness. Something's wrong. It may be in how you handle it. I tell you how it must be handled. With godly sorrow. Not with getting on Facebook and telling the world, you don't publicize that kind of stuff. No, sir. I'm sorry, folks. I am sorry. I am sick to my gut. You don't get on Facebook and publicize that kind of nonsense. You hit an altar somewhere and you weep and you have a shamefacedness and a godly sorrow. And if anybody says anything to you about it with a cast down look, you say, oh, I'm so disappointed, God, and I'm in so need of your prayer. And would you please help me? And you take a very humble back seat to everything and you say, oh, God, you got to help me. And that's how you get that whipped. We've lost the ability to blush. You approach God with a repentant, sorrowful heart. If your friends find out, you speak about it ashamedly with brokenness and sorrow and shamefacedness. And you know what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7? That godly sorrow worketh repentance. And that's what cleans you up. I'm talking about involved in it and clean and involved in it and out of it and in it and out of it and in it and out of it, in it and out of it. No. Something's wrong. If you're not saved or you have never experienced godly sorrow, all you've done is cry a few crocodile tears because you got caught. The victory is in repentance. And repentance yields a change. They didn't go back to it. No. And if they got close to it, they ran. Oh, yeah. Folks, it's everywhere. I said it's everywhere. We are not untouched, and neither is any other Baptist church in this country. And on the mission field in some cases. I talked with him today about a woman who's been coming to this church who is a visitor, who is horribly loose and sensual. I tried to get her in Larry's class. I warned him about her. The adulteress hunteth for the precious life. And you know what? You reach a point where you try to reach him and try to help him, but if there's no response, then after a while, you know what? I'm not going to drag that into this church and put every man here at risk. There's a look, there's a walk, there's a suggestiveness in everything about him. And this just comes, you say, well, you're wrong. You ought to do everything in the world to help him. We've repeatedly tried to help, but we've just about reached our limit, Brother Caleb. Just about reached our limit. I wouldn't bring arsenic in this place and play around with it. Around the water fountain out there. And I'm not going to haul in people who are given over to that kind of lifestyle just looking to take somebody else with them. I hope you all appreciate that. Every one of you women should. It's sickening. It's rotten to the core. It's sickening. And I want to tell you something. If you have not made a commitment as a young man, maybe when Pastor Angel or other people when you were 7 or 8 preached messages like this, and now you're 14 and 15 and 13, you never made a commitment to flee fornication and keep yourself pure and keep your mind pure and your body pure to please God first and foremost. If you've never done that, then friend, I don't know what you're waiting for. I wouldn't wait till the music starts tonight. I would be on the altar before the music starts. I'd be committing my heart, my body, my mind, my soul to God and cleanliness and purity in my home. I'd do that if I was a teenager. If I made that commitment, I'd make it again. If I was a college age student, I'd remake it and remake it. If I was a married man, I'd remake it and remake it because everybody in this room is capable. Everybody. A sin from which... run. Y'all listen? Run. Understand the capability, the availability, the culpability, the destructibility, and understand the victory. If you're struggling, you need to get washed. Cleansed. Get over it. Let's stand. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening tonight. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll put a real passion in our hearts tonight for being pure before you. Oh God, please help our parents, help our young people, help our college age students. God, please, I pray that you'll help us tonight. A sin from which to run, may we flee it. Help us men to keep our minds clean, to watch what we look at, what we see, what we're exposed to. Help the dear ladies of this church to keep their minds clean, what their minds are exposed to through the television, through sometimes books that aren't the best. Oh God, help us not to drag the members of Christ into that cesspool. Please keep us from it. And Lord, I pray for anybody who's caught up in it. I pray that there might be washing and cleansing and forgiveness and sanctification and getting over it, never looking back. Oh God, I plead that. Help us, Lord, please. I pray in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, you're playing the song of invitation. You want to come tonight and make some kind of holy commitment to God? give yourself to Christ, as you make that final drive into the parking lot of your place of business, give your mind to God, give your body to God, give yourself over and over again. Dedicate yourself to it.